The term fake news has become part of the vernacular, with some using it as a serious accusation, while others ridicule the concept as a method of deflection. So is there a way to measure what news and reporting are accurate? That's being attempted by the University of Michigan Center for Social Media Responsibility, which is working with an outside source to track the top 5,000 URLs and websites that are shared every day on Facebook and Twitter to find out how many of those sites post incorrect news stories. Michigan professor of information Paul Resnick has coined it the iffy quotient, and he's with me to talk about it. Paul, to what extent was this started because of the many references to fake news by politicians and their surrogates?
Yeah, this is our way of trying to measure the prevalence of things that might be fake news. On these iffy sites, and by iffy, roughly we, our tongue-in-cheek way of talking about things, sites that might, that any particular content that you get from that site might be fake, might be misinformation. That doesn't mean that every single thing that they post on their sites is false. It just means that they don't care too much about whether what they're saying is true or not.
Does a site, I'm just thinking Breitbart or maybe even the Drudge Report, are those iffy sites?
Yeah, good question. In our report about this, because we calculated this iffy quotient, we were able to calculate it all the way back to the beginning of 2016. Mm-hmm. The most interesting thing is to look at the changes over time and the comparison between Facebook and Twitter. But we did, we looked at it and said, which sites are getting a lot of URLs that according to the media bias fact check categorizations. And it turns out they've put Breitbart into the iffy category, but Drudge Report into the merely biased. So you can see that there are some judgments that are happening here. On the left, they've got Occupy Democrats as one of the iffy sites. So things that are just partisan, but are making some effort to have correct information and be reliable, they're not supposed to get into that iffy category.
So Paul, if we go back to 2016 and lead up to the presidential election and elections for obviously many other seats as well, what did you see in terms of what changed from the lead up to 2016 as opposed to the lead up to the election earlier this month?
It seemed like in 2016 we were getting more misinformation, fake news getting spread. That's really confirmed in our data. When we look at the middle of 2016 versus election season, it nearly doubles the fraction of the popular content that was coming from these iffy sites. So that was 2016. 2018, we did not see the same spike. So in fact, for Facebook, they've had a decline since early 2017, a pretty steady decline in the fraction of content coming from iffy sites. This is what we call the iffy quotient. And that has declined so that during election season of 2018, it was back at the levels that it was before the 2016 election season. For Twitter, we didn't see the same decline. They had the spike for the 2016 election, and they sort of never really recovered from that. But they didn't have another spike with the 2018 election.
Well, the natural follow-up question is, then, do you have any theories as to why?
I can speculate, but we don't have data that would separate out. There's sort of three possibilities. One is the producers, two is the consumers, and three is Facebook and Twitter. I'm pretty skeptical of the idea that something changed with the producers. I think for both commercial interests and propaganda interests, the producers would have liked to get their misinformation out there and have it be popular on Facebook and Twitter just as much in 2018 as 2016. So I don't think that really is likely to change, though again, I don't have data saying that. The second possibility, maybe the public has gotten wise. In 2016, was the first time around and people were saying, wow, this is really interesting. I'm going to reshare it. And now maybe people are being a little more wary before they reshare, and that keeps it from getting to be too popular. Certainly, I would like to believe that, but I don't have any, I don't have any reason to believe that something has magically changed in our habits of the whole American public.
Paul, you said there was a third possibility, and based on what you said, I'm guessing this has to do with maybe countermeasures that companies have taken. What's going on with that?
The biggest one that both Twitter and Facebook have told the world about in their announcements is that they've tried to remove fake accounts that aren't one person, one account. It's one person with lots of accounts, and they're then maybe have a bot that's running the account so that so that they can use that to artificially make some stories appear to be popular. And that sort of gets the ball rolling. It gets seen by more people, and then they reshare it more, and eventually it gets to be very popular. So by taking measures to try to remove those inauthentic accounts, they may be sort of cutting off that artificial the artificial pumping of stories and making it hard for them to get popular. So that's one countermeasure. There are other countermeasures. You know, Facebook has announced partnerships with third-party fact-checkers, so particular stories that are found to be false, they demote those and give them less prominence, so fewer people see them. They announced a series of other measures, and you know, it's a little hard to tell which of those exactly is having an effect, but it seems like you know, there's some cumulative effect, because we do see this decline from mid-2017, nearly cutting in half, really, to late 2018, of the amount of iffy content on Facebook, or that got to be, I should say, content that got to be popular on Facebook. So things can still be on Facebook, but we're only measuring the things that got popular.
That is Paul Resnick. He's a professor of information at the University of Michigan. We've been talking about the iffy quotient.